In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you were here last Sunday or you watched online, you may have heard Jonathan mention this verse as well. The breath of God, the Ruach, was hovering over the waters. Before creation, before order and organisation, the Spirit was hovering. But the waters did not necessarily symbolise peace and tranquility, but rather chaos and disorder. Then God spoke, and there was separation of day and night, of light and dark, of sea and land, and there was life. In Genesis chapter 2, there is a description of a river that waters the Garden of Eden, giving it life and creating a beautiful oasis. But let me also remind you, this is a recap of last week, of Jonathan talking about the Valley of Dry Bones recorded in Ezekiel 37. The dry and lifeless bones and the prophecy that says, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Come breathe on me. Lord, that is our prayer again today as we consider the Holy Spirit as the familiar stranger. Well, I've said here numerous times that I love water. I love the ocean. I love to drink water. I love the rain in the downpipe outside our bedroom window. I even love the Parramatta River. True story. For me, water does symbolise peace and calm. And so often I am refreshed just by seeing and being near the water. Well, we heard just a few moments ago from John chapter 7 when Jesus called out in a loud voice at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." What an invitation! An invitation from Jesus, not only talking to people who may have been physically thirsty, but rather people who are spiritually thirsty. In our world today, people long for or thirst for hope, for love, for light, for life, for purpose, for so many things. The list could go on and on. In Psalm 42, verse 2, we read, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God." Do you thirst for God? Have you accepted the invitation from Jesus to come and drink his living water? Many writers in the Bible depict the Spirit of God by using the metaphor of water. And I've already shared a couple of those with you this morning. And thanks to Abby, we've heard another one from Ezekiel this week, Ezekiel 47. And Abby read to us a vision that Ezekiel saw, a vision of a river flowing out from the temple into the land. The temple represented the presence of God. This is where the people believed that God dwelt. He dwelt in the temple. And Ezekiel says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. The vision describes a trickle, not a raging river or a flood, just a stream coming out from under the threshold. In great description, trickling from the south side. And the water flows from the safety of the temple out into the open, into the world as they knew it, the world as we know it, where there is darkness, disorder, and even despair. But there is a man with Ezekiel, a man who leads him out into the water. And Abby shared that at first the water is ankle deep, then it's described as being knee deep, then waist deep, before becoming deep enough to swim in. And before he even sees where the water is going, Ezekiel is invited. He's invited in and follows into the waters. He's not invited to sit by the riverbank, but he's invited to go in, to be a part of it. About 600 years before Jesus gave the invitation to come to him and drink of the living water, Ezekiel was invited into the waters flowing from the temple out into the world. And this trickle that came from the south side is described in great detail, as we heard, and it becomes a river that no one could cross. And as the vision continues, the man led Ezekiel back to the bank of the river, and there he saw other things. And there's this great description in this passage of scripture. There are trees, heaps of trees on either side of this river. And he was told that the river flows into the sea. That's what rivers do. The Parramatta River flows into the sea. But this sea was the Dead Sea, so named because of its high salinity and the fact that nothing could live in it. Yet as the river came from the temple and flowed into the sea, the water becomes fresh. And we read that where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. The fish in the river will be of many kinds. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. While the Dead Sea is lifeless, where the river flows, everything is given life and everything will live. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit will flow and revive the dead places. The Spirit of God brings life. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, we read, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground." The Spirit of God does not avoid the dry and the thirsty land, does not avoid the brokenness, does not even avoid the Dead Sea. The Spirit of God moves towards it. The Spirit of God brings life where life seems impossible. Ezekiel was given an invitation to enter into the waters flowing from the temple. Jesus invites us to come to him and drink. But what then? What happens when we are filled? What happens when we are filled with the water that Jesus offers, when we are filled with the Spirit? When Dave and I first got married, which was a long time ago now, we lived in a beautiful little town in Western Victoria called Halls Gap, which is in the Grampians National Park. We literally had koalas and kangaroos, echidnas, the occasional emu and deer in our backyard, and that's, I'm telling you the full truth, we had no fences, but that also then meant that we had like lizards and snakes and water rats and other things. But it was a beautiful part of the country. Having said that, I was very young when we got married and I probably would appreciate living there much more now than I did back then. But when we lived there, we used to visit a place all the time called the Barocca Lookout, and we would usually take our visitors there to this beautiful spot. And there's a picture that I did not take that's going to come up on the screen. Look, there's Dave and I. I know, look at us. We were so, like, lovely. It's such a terrible photo because it's a scan of a real photo because, you know, guys, in those days we didn't have mobile phones that took photos. But this, you can see there, was just a stunning place, and I hope that you can appreciate how great it really is. When we were up on that lookout, we would often talk about that body of water that you can see there in the distance, which is Lake Belfield. Lake Belfield is still a place where people go. There's a camping ground, caravan park close by. People stay there. They'd have holidays. You could swim, you could fish, you can kayak on there. You can only use electric engines on Lake Belfield to protect the quality of the water, because that is the water supply for Halls Gap and for the other towns in the area. Here is Lake Belfield. But when we would talk of the lake, and we used to go down there to the lake sometimes and we would walk, we would often ask the question, what if that wall that you can see there in the foreground of the picture were to break? This is actually a man-made reservoir. It was about 5 kilometres out of town. What if the wall, what if the lake would break the wall? There would be a flood of some description. The water would spread. I don't know how quickly it would spread. I don't know how much damage it would do to the town. But we would often talk about it as we would walk along the wall that you can walk along, or we would view it from the lookout. And I was thinking, because I think random things sometimes, about this reservoir this week. Because unlike Lake Belfield, we are not filled with the living water of Jesus to be a reservoir, to have a wall built to stop the flow of the water. We are filled to be a river. We are filled so that we may flow. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. A spirit-filled Christian should have the life of Christ within them and the rivers of living water flowing from within them. A spirit-filled church should be flowing from their temple, from their building into the community to bring life and healing to those in the world. In the book that we're using for this series, it's called The Familiar Stranger, the writer, Tyler Staton, says that within Ezekiel's vision, there are two invitations for us. The first invitation is for us to come to Jesus And then the second one is to become. Are you thirsty, says Jesus? Well, then come to me and drink, because I am the living water. Then to become part of the river that flows. Yes, the Holy Spirit is about personal transformation, personal peace, but that is not the end. Staten says the Spirit also makes you and me part of the current of peace flowing through our chaotic world. All who come to Jesus, the source of the living water, will become part of the source. A river of living water that heals the world, that heals people, will flow from within you. So, it says in Ezekiel 47, so where the river flows, everything will live. Everything will live. Did you note that second song that we sang this morning that was chosen, I think, by Pete and Vicky? And we sang over and over, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. We are the temple, the source of the river that flows from here goes into a broken and hurting world, a world full of chaos. And we have not been filled up to be a reservoir with a wall built to stop the flow. We have been filled and healed and redeemed and transformed by the Holy Spirit to become part of the source of the living water flowing into our community. A few weeks ago, when I started to look at this vision of Ezekiel, I had a picture, perhaps a vision of my own, come to me, which was odd for me, and it was a picture of this place, the Salvation Army Parramatta. And I sat on it for a week or so, and I spoke to Jonathan about it, and I spoke to Dave about it. And then I sent Anthony an email, who graciously, talking about AI before, helped to generate an AI image of the picture that I have been seeing. And this is what it is. This is the staircase of our building that I walk up and down nearly every day because I don't take the lift as much as I can. This image of the living water of God flowing from this place, flowing from our temple, from our core buildings, from Parramatta Salvos, from whatever you want to call it, from our lives into the world that is thirsty, the world, our community, our city that is broken and dry. Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And Ezekiel reminds us that where the river flows, everything, everything will live. So my questions for today are, have you accepted the invitation from Jesus to come and drink his living water? And secondly, if you have accepted it, are you living like a reservoir, or are you living like a river with flowing water?